This is the Mindful Experiment Podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Vic. Excited that you're here. This podcast is all about diving deep into the mind and understanding this experiment or this game we call life. So sit back, relax, and enjoy the show. Hey, everyone. Welcome back to another episode here on the Mindful Experiment. Excited to have you here, have you on, as we're going to be diving into a wonderful interview that I had with Shay Kuninu. And it was something that I truly enjoyed. I was looking forward to having this conversation because for me specifically, I sometimes take life a little too serious. And I forget sometimes to be the kid. My daughter helps me really well with that, but and since I've had her in my life for the last almost 2 years, it's been awesome. And it really has brought out the more of the kid, like my practice as a chiropractor, especially when I work with kids, it brings more of that out, and it's helped me over the last 7-8 years. But it's one of those things that it's always a great reminder. And I think for people in society, I think it's always good to remember, life is a dance, right? And so much more. Real quick, before we dive into more about the episode, if you enjoy the podcast, make sure you share a review. It helps us get the word out, get this movement going to really elevate people's consciousness levels and to really enjoy more of life and rediscover the greatness and the amazingness of who you are. Make sure you subscribe, like, and if you really enjoy it, share it with someone you know. But so in this episode, we talk about how life's a dance with the ups and downs. We get into embracing both is really essential for transformation. Because humans, we like to try to avoid pain. The brain tries to keep us in a state of comfort. And so it's one of those things that when we can enjoy the ride up and down, this too shall pass on both ends of that, it neutralizes life a little bit and makes us just enjoy a little bit more. And like, oh, cool, I'm in this part of my life and I'm enjoying this instead of, oh, I want this to stay here forever. Make sense? The mind creates a lot of illusions. We get into that and how it latches on to certain concepts based on your past experience. So this is where I work with clients a lot of times too in coaching, where I always tell them, like, when you look into the future, you have to be crystal clear on it and not let your programs of the past project onto the future. That's what most people do. And I've been at fault of this many times. I am no different than you. And it's one of those things where how we have to basically hit the reset button and recreate again. It's observing our patterns we get into, a lot of that, and recognizing how the illusion of the mind can lead to helping us go into a deeper understanding of life. But more importantly, and I wrote a book on this, and I loved how he brought this up, suffering can be a catalyst for growth and can ultimately lead to a greater appreciation for the ups and downs. I can't emphasize enough on that. It was really a heartfelt conversation with Shay, and I know we really dove deep a lot of these concepts, and it's something that we talked about on the podcast a lot. And I'm excited to bring him here and share his work, his book, and all the things that he does. He has a book called The Glorious Dance, Thoughts and Contemplations About Who We Are, which I highly recommend, and the information's in the show notes. So without any more further ado, I want to introduce you guys. Here is my amazing interview with Shay Kuninu. Shay, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much, Vic.
I'm looking forward to this conversation. We were just chatting a little bit, and I was talking about dancing and stuff here, and I'm looking to see where that takes us. But before, you know, the listeners are like, dancing? Where's this going to go? Before we get into all that good stuff, tell me a little about your story. How did you get into what you're doing today?
That's a very loaded question. Oftentimes it's very, I found it very difficult to really even define what exactly I'm doing here today. from a more, should I say career perspective, I've actually been in different spaces. I started as a software developer. Right now I'm a coach, I'm a hypnotherapist. At the same time, I do some music or piano compositions. I do watercolor and oil paintings. And oftentimes when people ask, like, what do you do and how did you get to all you do? It's for me, for the most part, it's been the fact that I don't know if it was earlier on in my life where I recognized that there's actually nothing for one to do but to do, you know. So it's not, I don't necessarily put myself in one particular chamber and say, this is where I am supposed to go, or this is who I am. Instead, I see life itself as an exploration of this experience. And maybe some of that has was impacted by a few health challenges that I faced a few years ago, when I just decided I'm just going to live life. And, you know, in living life, that also brought me into a spiritual journey that made me realize that for the most part, we're almost always reaching out to finally be happy, you know, to reach for that happiness, and then we'll be all right. And I found out that the more we chase happiness, the more elusive it becomes. And then when we pause and actually see what's going on, what we realize is the challenges we face in life and the great things, the terrible things, the nightmares, the sweet dreams that we have in life, they're actually part of this dance. So I all of that has just led me into writing this my book, This Glorious Dance, which I'm so excited to talk about here today.
I love it. I knew we were going to have this a great combo here, and it's what you're talking about is so true in so many ways, and like chasing happiness, right? It's instead just being in the moment, and it's stuff that I can't tell you how many times in my journey I've heard that. The other thing you brought up I really love about your story is, like, you know, so many times in life we're always like, you got to do this, the one thing, right? Got to niche down into this. Even in business, it's like, oh, what's your niche? And it's always like, humans are not designed to be that way. I mean, maybe some are. I'm not going to say there isn't. There are some. But what made me challenge that early on in my career was I looked at all the greatest people that we envy. Like, one of them that's come to mind right now is like Benjamin Franklin. You know, when you look at his history of who he was, or like Leonardo da Vinci. Da Vinci is known as a painter. He wasn't just a painter. You know, he had a whole laundry list of stuff of what he did. Thomas Edison, you know, so you look at these greats, they weren't one thing. And I love when you're like, I do piano, I do water cleaning, I do oil this. I'm like, yep, I got to upgrade my life a little bit more. All right, I thought I was doing. Because that's the same thing for me. Like, I'm in health, I do coaching. But if you look at my background, though, and everything I've done, I hit so many different arenas of things. And it's like, but I love learning. It's just I'm not just going to focus on one. I want to learn all this. And then how do they cross over? Right? Because we're going to talk about dancing here in a second, which is going to relate to your book. So let's talk a little about, how is life a dance? Like, how is it really a dance, and how do you see it in that light, and how do you share that?
Oh yeah, almost like what I was hinting at earlier. It's, and I start my book this way. Once it's almost apparent that when we actually really sit still, when we experience what's going on inside us, or what seems to be inside us, and the mind itself ceases to, the noise of thoughts ceases, we begin to notice is things are happening for their own pleasure. You see, look at nature, for instance. The wind blows, you know, in one direction, blows in the other direction. The sun rises, it sets. The moon rises, it sets. Everything just arises. Thoughts come from nowhere and they end nowhere. By the time we see how this plays in almost everything that's form, anything that we can actually experience, we begin to see there's just an up and down. And in that up and down movement, it reminds me of a dance, you know. So life itself seems to be very, if we pay attention and we engage, the mind engages in that stillness, the mind can read it as as just a dance. You know, I sometimes in recent times I've been thinking more about, I've been contemplating death. Well, that sounds very morbid, but I've been contemplating this phenomenon of death. And actually I had a chapter in my book on death. And one thing that's very apparent is as children or as babies, you know, we have caregivers who are there to, you know, feed us, change our diapers, and teach us how to speak and all of that. Then we gain that confidence and we become adults who know how to speak, who know how to walk around, who know how to eat, and you know how to use the restroom. And then at some point in life, you become that baby who actually needs to learn how to speak, how to eat, how to change your diapers. So it's like, it's this swing, this up and down swing. So for me, life itself presents itself as that, that left and right, that up and down, that right or wrong. And that duality, or that game of duality itself, is part of the non-dual. Yeah.
I love how you share all that, because it is. I mean, the law of rhythm, right? You're talking about the sun coming up and down, the moon coming up and down, everything in the physical realm has a rhythm to it. Yes. And, but I love how you know, life is a sine wave, those ups and downs, and you're sharing all that. And so I can 100% agree with you on it. It's amazing that there is this thing. So, but why is it then? Here's a question. I'll kind of turn it this way a little. Humans, we like to only experience the up, and we try to avoid the down. How can we embrace the down more?
I would say it's in the recognition of the illusion. I would reference my book here to say, in the first chapter of my book, I talked about, it's called Illusions, and I talk about how the mind actually creates illusions. Once again, as one of the things that I do, I'm also a magician. Well, I don't do that professionally anymore, but it's very interesting to see how the mind latches on to a particular concept based on what it has seen before. And I talk a little bit about the reverse inference problem, where the mind wants to, when something terrible has happened in the past, the mind looks out to make sure that that thing doesn't happen again. So when you're even in a good space, you have one eye closed, one eye open, so that you can make sure that you don't experience something that happened in the past. And so, in a lot of ways, we are always trying to latch on to good, and we try to reject anything terrible that's happening. And I feel like I wouldn't even necessarily put this as a human problem, but a pattern of mind. That's how the mind itself tries to function. So how do we get away from it? I would say maybe another question we should ask is, how do we watch that pattern? Because when we see the pattern, there's no need to get away from it or to get to it. It's just the observing of the pattern. And when we observe the pattern, what seems to happen is things actually seem to change of their own accord, the way they've always been changing.
I love how you bring up, you're a magician also. I mean, just keep adding to the repertoire, my friend. Man, I'll tell you, there are secrets you can't share. I love it. I'm very fascinated with magic, and I love the illusion part of it all, right? How do we trick the mind to see one thing to do something else? That's just, you know, and you bring it up, because I had a magician when I first started my podcast talk about that. And we got into the aspect of the mind and how it can be fooled in ways, but again, the brain's designed to keep you comfortable. So if there is that painful experience, right, it's like, oh yeah, no, that's not it. But are there things that we can do? Because I know also you can reframe that. You can look at it differently. And when we look at things differently, then it reacts differently back, and we have a different experience because of how we shift our perception on things. Exactly. When doing that, does that then allow us to embrace those things? To go into them, see them differently, and be able to enjoy the dance in a sense then, right? Because now we know law of duality you were sharing earlier, is like, yeah, I'm in this moment. It's not great. I don't like the way the heck I'm feeling right now. It's not the best, but I do know that the up is coming at some point in time. It may not come. It never comes when you want it to come, but it will come eventually. And then it's like, well, I'm here now. So how do I just enjoy this process? Then how do I just sit here and just say, all right, here's where I'm at. I'm going to enjoy it.
Exactly. You know, talking about magic, it's almost always incredible how if the moment a magic trick is explained, you wonder how you are so fooled. Like, it was right in front of you all the while. How did I get fooled? You know, and then it loses its the trick loses its essence. So if you know how a trick was performed and it's performed again, it doesn't seem as magical. And I think that in another way, life itself presents itself that way. There's a part of life that when we start to see how life unfolds itself, yes, there's the magic of seeing life that way, but it also loses another part of its flavor. And I think that's one of the reasons why we kind of like getting lost in the drama of life or in the illusion of life, because it seems more fun. Yes, when we are going through a lot of suffering, we think that we don't have fun, but we actually do. We just don't know that we do. So in a lot of ways, I would say consciousness likes to get lost in its own stories for its own pleasure. If the mind is going to interpret it that way, yes.
I like it. So it's just enjoy the process then. Just be in the moment.
Yes. Yes.
All yes. Things are good. Nothing's bad.
Exactly.
Yeah. I'm with you on that. Actually, for some people listening to this, go ahead.
Okay. No, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, like, some people may listen and go, I don't know about that. This happened to me and that is horrible. But it's true, though, when you're bringing up that point of like all things are good, because that's something I shared. And I wrote a book called The Walk in the Dark. And it's all about the darkness of life that we face and what we go through and how it's all really a blessing. And it's really, you can look at it as divine timing interventions and all that if you want to go that far with it. But it's like, it's really there for a purpose. And you can't really comprehend it in the moment. But when you look back, of all the interviews I've had, somebody who went through trauma, went through some hardships and growing up, some really deep, dark stuff. I asked the question only if I felt like I could. And most of the time I do ask it. Well, I'd be like, when you look back at your life and you look back at those traumas, was it a blessing? And you said you had some health challenges. Was it a blessing?
Yeah.
You know. You're not in your head, so I'm assuming that was a yes. Right? So like, yeah. Even for me, like I look back at my life and all the hardships I had, and I look and I go, man, I'm blessed. I'm happy for all of them. Like what it led me to, where I'm at in my life, the wisdom I gained from it, who I became through that process. I'm like, it wasn't fun during it, but through it all, it's like, and that's how I shifted my values and perception. Like everything always is good at the end of the day. I love to have you comment more on that.
Yeah, I was even going to say one of the really great analogies that I like to bring is we all go to the theaters to watch movies, and I don't think anybody enjoys watching a movie that's all about, you know, jumping in the grass and, you know, enjoying life and going to park and going to traveling and eating, and then the end credits pull up and then we're like, woo, that was a great movie. You know, there's something so powerful and rewarding about a story that probably starts mundane. You know, somebody was, you know, just, you know, watching TV at home, and then boom, an explosion happened and they lost all their property, they lost their friends, and, you know, and then they're going through all of these struggles, and then something happens, you know, some wisdom, some collaboration with someone happens, and then the challenge that they once faced somehow gets resolved, and then they sail into the setting sun. You know, we like stories like that, and I think that a lot of life is like that. Yes, maybe for some people, in the way form presents itself may seem tragic to the end, but to whose credit and who actually does suffer? I think that's one of the things that I like to pull my attention to. Who actually is us? Who are we? And who is the one who suffers? Who's the one who actually doesn't suffer? Like, being able to see that difference, we begin to see that the movie itself is happening, and then there's something, or there's something else that's experiencing the movie, and who we are is the experience of the movie, not the ones in the movie.
I like that. It's like, correct me if I'm wrong, but I think you're kind of sharing too, like, everything's a mirror, right? So you, when you're watching the movie, it's the expression of who you are in that process and all that.
Yes.
I got that pretty much down, right?
Yeah. And if I add something else, our experience of our general experience of life, and the experience the ego plays is that of a character in a play that's not designed by the ego, a play that's a stage that's not designed by the ego. Everything is designed by in consciousness. And so when we start to see our lives, our struggles, our prosperity, our urge for connection, all of that is appearing within the screen of consciousness. And so when we begin to see that everything is just a dream, a drama, a play, you know, and we bring attention to who is the one experiencing that, we see that who we are is not really defined by the characters that we play. Who we are is the one that's aware of the characters that we play. So in a way, we actually were never in the movie. We were the ones just experiencing the movie. That's how I see it.
So deep there. I hope listeners, you're really, like, maybe go back and re-listen to what he just said there, because it's extremely deep. I love it. I love what you're sharing there, because it's like, who's the observer of the observer, right?
Exactly.
You, me, I'm observing something, but there's something deeper that's observing that. It's not that, but it's not like the person that the thing that's observing isn't me or anything of the experience. It's just experiencing this perspective, right?
Exactly.
I usually go and say that's like your soul. That's your that's kind of how I use that. Consciousness is a great way to say it too. But it's because you're kind of taking, and I love how you brought up the whole thing too. Like, this is a conscious thing. It's not the ego that created this. No, to me, when hearing that, took me into the spiritual realms of like the soul's blueprint, setting things up. I don't know if you're even going that route, but you're nodding, so I'm assuming yes. Because it's like, there are things set up for a reason. Just like there's producers that create a movie and they know every single part of the scene of where they want to take this character through. Some people don't like hearing this, but it's like, yeah, our soul designs the same thing, because it gets an experience and it wants to have this experience. And so you get this thing to be, I'm Victor Manzo in this life. And so, but my soul's not Victor Manzo. It's a part of, maybe a fragment of who my soul is and all that, but it's not, my soul's not Victor Manzo. And so, but it gets to have this experience of Victor Manzo, to see another light or another section or another element of itself, to learn about itself. You went deep, so I'm like, let me go a little deep with him and see where we go with this.
Yes. Yes.
I love that. And it, you know, because it is, and when we can understand, and I love using movies as an example, because we all, like the hero's journey, Joseph Campbell. I mean, when I read that book, it talks about every movie is pretty much summed up to that. There's the main character, the hero, the villain, the lover, and the friend, right? And they all work. There's always that play. And we need that. Life would be boring. As a soul, we wouldn't come here to enjoy an experience if life was just, like you said, oh, we're dancing in the flowers. Because I think life is already like that on the soul. Like when we go back home, right, when we transition, I think from what I've studied and everything I've researched and my own internal stuff that I've done, that's life in the spiritual realms. It's all bliss. So then it's like, but sometimes a soul wants to have non-bliss. It wants to experience other things. And so anyway, I can dive all day on that conversation. I'm pulling away from the conversation here a little. But where, you know, when it comes to, you know, with the book and the dance and everything, how can people find it? How can people follow your work? How people can connect with you? Because I love what you're sharing, and I think people need to get more, get it connected in some way of this stuff, because if we can see life in the realm of what you just shared, and that's why I'm kind of like, that was a beautiful way of how you shared that, it changes a whole lot of what humans go through, and it can give them hope. It can help them break to see things in a different element, and it really enhances our mental health. So how can people find that book and so much more?
Yeah, it's on my website, sharequino.com, or on Amazon.com. It's called This Glorious Dance, Thoughts and Contemplations About Who We Are. It's also on Audible. I really enjoyed the performance of the book on Audible. Yeah, thank you.
Awesome. Did you narrate it yourself?
The introduction and, well, the acknowledgement. But I worked with a really talented narrator for most of it.
Awesome. No, I love it. Yeah. Yeah, I've done 3 books and I've done my own. And it was one of those things I was like, I don't pronunciate the words as well. But I'm like, you know what? I'm just going to go with it and the heck with it. And we'll see how it goes. So I love it, man. I love the work you're doing, brother. I think you're really helping out the world in so many ways. And I just want to thank you for joining us here and sharing a little bit of that wisdom. You went deep, brother. And I love going deep. And so I know it's going to illuminate some minds and some listeners. And just keep doing the work you're doing. And I'd love to have you back on again soon.
Thank you so much, Victor. It was my pleasure.
Thanks for tuning into the podcast. If you found this episode to be inspirational, pay it forward by sharing it with someone that you know can benefit from this. If this is your first time tuning in, please follow us, connect with us, so you don't miss another amazing episode. And until next time, keep rocking and rolling.